Here's a follow-up question from last week. See everyone who was paying attention. How are we doing with our cup? Have we filled it already to the top? Did we empty it on Sunday and now we're back here a week later and the thing is overflowing again? Or do we still have some room in there for these fruits? If you did miss last week, we do have extra cups if you'd like to carry a cup around with you during the week. And we have our trusty guide of the nine fruits of the Spirit right here that is simply plain. So if anyone has any art for it, I mean, do we have any artists here in the crowd? Any chalk, calligraphy, whatever you're into, crochet. Thank you. I'm gonna follow up with that. All right. Christmas and my birthday are coming up, so I'll take one for both together. Oh man, I was driving here this morning, and normally coming to church on a Sunday, I listen to podcasts. But I'm like, today is not a podcast day. Today was a Taylor Swift day. So I put the windows down and just blasted Taylor Swift on the way here, and I'm in such a good mood. Oh, I'm so happy to be here. Well, hey, we are week two, talking about fruits of the Spirit, and if we need a reminder, here they are. Fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And today, there are three fruits that I would like to talk about. Love, joy, and peace. Anyone here? Could you use some more love? Any more joy? How about some more peace? Could you use some more of that in your cup? Could you empty out some of those other things that aren't producing these ways of living and allowing these to arise and bubble within and then flow out of you? That's what we're talking about. How do we fill our lives with more love, joy, and peace? Now let's talk about these three words. Love, it's the Greek word agape. Now, there's three words in Greek that can be translated into our English word love. The word that is here with the fruits, it's the Greek word agape love. This is considered the highest form of love. This is love that is unmerited. In other words, there's nothing you do to deserve this love. So I would argue that the love that Paul talks about as the fruit, it's a love that originates in God. And it's a love that is, it's yours right now in this time and place. In every moment, this agape, unmerited, grace-filled love of God is yours for the taking. And I'd argue it's our awareness of this love that's upon us that determines how much we allow to reside within. And the goal is that it wouldn't simply stop here with us, but that we would be a funnel, that we would funnel all that love from God, and then it would just flow through us, that we would offer this agape, unmerited, selfless love, like the love we see of Jesus, that we would offer this type of love to all people, that we'd be looking around for opportunities, and not really looking, but they would effortlessly just be opportunities that are presented to us, and then that love would just be given to those that we come in contact. Imagine if we all lived this way. We all lived looking out for the good of others. Imagine if our awareness of the love that was upon us was so great that that simply was the way in which we treated every single person. I asked Adrian, so Adrian was one of the few people, a couple of people that had asked me, hey, can you do a series on the fruits of the Spirit? And I said, all right, tell me why you want a series on the fruits of the Spirit. There's that face again. So we determined yesterday, Adrian does not have a good poker face. So if you want to win a lot of money, play Adrian in poker. Maybe she'll give you the keys to her Jeep. She'll throw that into the pot. I asked her, I said, well, why a series on the fruits of the Spirit? And she said, because I feel like so many people have lost the plot. So many people have gotten away from these ways of living. If we were to all live with an awareness of these fruits, if we were all to manifest these ways of living, well, wouldn't the world look a whole lot different? Imagine that, selfless love offered to every person, every conversation, every interaction. Would our lives not change? Would our world not change? Would our families not change? Things would look a little bit different, I believe. I love this definition, constantly seeking the benefit of the other. Is this not God's posture towards us? Seeking our benefit. God is a God who is for you. So the first fruit, it's a foundational fruit. It starts with this awareness that this is what we have been given. This is the invitation for us to believe through the love of Christ that we will remember and reflect upon in a little while. And then it simply flows through us. The second word is the word joy. It's the Greek word chara, and it means this inner gladness, deep, deep delight. Have you ever experienced this in life? There's this delight that you have for baked cookies. There's a person that you look upon with delight. It's this word rejoice. Now, what's really interesting to me is the word that's translated as grace in our Bibles. It's the word charis, which is very similar, is it not, to chara. So joy and grace, they're almost synonymous in the Bible. They come from the same root. And actually, one definition says joy is the recognition of God's grace upon us. Imagine if we entered every single morning. Imagine if we walked through our day with this deep awareness of the grace, the unmerited love. I mean, you see how it's all tied in here together? Imagine if we walk through every single, like, you have that really bad conversation, then you walk away from it and you're reminded somehow of the love of God that is still yours. Like, yeah, right now it doesn't feel it, but somewhere deep, deep within, there's this reminder that the grace and the love of God is yours. And then let's look at this this third word. It's the word peace, the Greek word eirene, which again, it has this inner component to it. It's not some transitory peace, but rather it's this deep, deep inner satisfaction. Also can be translated as harmony, a sense of oneness, a sense of wholeness. Is this not what we all desire in life as well? To feel within us a sense of wholeness. We look around, sometimes we look within ourselves and we find brokenness. Things aren't as we believe they should be, as we believe things are meant to be. But yet deep, deep within, we're told that we can live with this deep inner peace. A peace that doesn't come and go based on what we're experiencing externally, but rather a peace that always resides deep down within us. And one of the things I find really interesting about this word peace, this word eirene, it's not an absence. Sometimes when we talk about peace, we're like, all right, peace is when there is no conflict. And that's a really good thing. Of course, it's a good thing. But the definition of peace is something deeper than just the absence of conflict. It's actually the filling of something. This type of peace that's being described, it actually has some substance to it. It changes you. You carry it around with you. So when Paul talks about here are the fruits of the Spirit, the gifts that God desires to bestow, the gifts that I believe are already right there within you, ready for you to trust and walk into, so they flow out of you, this is where he begins. Love, joy, and peace. I believe these, this triad, is the foundation for all the other gifts. Imagine walking through life with these gifts present with you every step you take. Imagine living with such a deep awareness. There's oftentimes we talk about happiness. And sometimes the definition of happiness, it can be based on that which we are experiencing externally. I'll take Reese to Target, and he's like, hey, can we go to the toy aisle? And I'm like, all right, we have about 5 minutes. And he's like, no, 5 minutes isn't going to be enough. And normally I'm there for 15 minutes, and he just wants to walk up every single aisle, and he'll be like, hey, can I have a toy? And we're like, no, no, no. You know, we had a toy last time. We came here, we got a Hot Wheel the last time. Well, he's already over that Hot Wheel that he got a couple of days ago. Joy is something more than this. Joy is something you carry deep, deep down within you, and it's not swayed, because then whenever I tell him you're not going to have one, it can go one of two ways. Normally, it kind of goes the second way. One way, you can be like, okay, Dad, and then we get back in the cart, and we keep on walking, getting the things that we need, or we can have a mini meltdown. No, I need another one. I don't like that one anymore. I'm on to the next thing. Joy is different than happiness. Joy is something you possess deep within you that isn't swayed by the external circumstances that we go through. Now, here's a question for us this morning. And this is the question that I am asking all throughout this series, the question for us. How then do we allow these gifts, love, joy, and peace, to flow through us? We live a life of gratitude. We live a life of gratitude. So this morning, title of this sermon, you got your shot there, Janelle? Okay. And I've titled this one, and I waited. So I had a different title for the sermon, but then Taylor Swift kind of gave me a different title, or at least a different note. I was like, you know, I'm going to change the title on the way down here. So we're going to call this sermon A Few Notes on Grateful Living, because that just sounds like a great sermon title. I didn't like my other one. I was like, eh, it's kind of like a 6 or a 7, but this one, I mean, who can't relate to this? Who doesn't need a few notes on grateful living? I see you up there, Junior in F5. So first, gratitude. Gratitude is a choice. Gratitude requires intention. Jesus in Matthew says, "Seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be opened to you." Here's what I've learned in life, a lesson that I've learned. You'll find whatever you're looking for. If you want to seek out gratitude, reasons to be grateful for your life, you'll find it. If you want to seek out bitterness, resentment, you'll find that as well. Wherever your intention lies, that's what you will come to discover. So gratitude, it's a choice that we make. And we can make the choice now, this morning, say, well, I'm going to be a grateful person. I'm going to look for reasons to be grateful. But it's a continual choice. We can make it now, but then we're being invited to make it again tomorrow when we wake up. And Thursday morning and Friday afternoon after we've had a slog of a week. It's an intention that we focus our attention on. Here's Paul in Philippians. This is how he begins the letter. I thank my God every time I remember you. Paul begins this letter to the church at Philippi and many of his letters with a word of gratitude. I thank my God every single time I think of you. I'm grateful. I'm thankful. Now, where was Paul when he wrote this letter? Anyone know? Yes. He was in chains. Paul was in jail. Jail and gratitude? Yeah, not so much, right? But yet here's Paul in chains, may never leave prison again, and yet he writes what many scholars consider to be the most joyful book in the Bible. This word, kara, joy, shows up 16 times all throughout the book of Philippians. Paul is in chains, and yet it is the most joyful letter that he writes. Why? Because his intention is set on gratitude. He begins right, you know what? Yeah, I could look at my situation. I could look at what I'm going through, my externals, and what's happening to me, and I could be upset about it. I could throw my fists up to the heavens, and I can yell and scream and shout. First, that probably won't change things, and it's just going to set me on a downward spiral. So Paul decides that he is going to focus. He is going to intentionally focus on gratitude, being grateful for that which he does have. Which leads us to a second note. Oh, actually, no, we'll get to the second note in a minute because I want to show you something that I find really, really interesting about these three words, love, joy, and peace. Oh, well, this was really good too. I forgot I had this note on here. All right, we'll talk about this for a minute, then we'll keep going. How's that? We good with that? All right, cool. So I believe we have the power to shape our reality. And what we choose to focus on shapes our inner world, and that becomes the lens through which we see our lives through. Gratitude is a choice. There's our first note this morning. If we choose to focus on gratitude, I trust, I believe that the way in which you see the world will begin to shift. The way in which you feel within you will begin to shift. Because as you are focusing on all the goodness that is coming your way, and let's be honest, we can all find some goodness in our lives. I don't know what your week has looked like, what your month, what your year has looked like. I'm sure for many of you, life has been difficult and you've gone through your hardships. Yes, you do not deny those. Lamenting, sorrow, yeah, it's a part of the journey. But if we choose to focus and to place our attention on the little things, whatever they happen to be, the little pieces of goodness that are coming your way, I trust that something within you will shift. I see this is what has happened with Paul. I thank my God every time I remember you. And you know what? What did his gratefulness produce? Joy, peace, and love, which happened to be three of his favorite gifts to impart to his readers. If you look at every single letter that Paul writes, every letter in the New Testament, you'll find that he begins and actually closes his letters in very similar ways. A few examples. First, grace, charis, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians. Paul's experienced this, and now he wants others. Because of his thankfulness, he has this deep awareness of the grace and the peace of God, and now he wants his readers to have the same. Here's how he ends Ephesians. Peace to all the brothers, love with faith. Grace, again, grace and joy kind of synonymous there in the New Testament, to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you. My love to all of you in Christ Jesus. Grace and peace to you from God our Father. Anyone, you see a pattern here? You see a pattern. He begins, grace, peace, love, joy. I've experienced this, and I now want to pass this on to you. I want you to experience the same in your life. For Paul, love, joy, or grace, and peace was the starting point for his relationship with God. And he wanted others to experience the same. This is what kept him going through all the hardships. And if you know anything about the story of Paul, he went through his share of hardships in life. But yet it was the grace, the peace, the joy, and the love of God that kept him going, that kept producing a heart of thankfulness. So let's look at a second note on gratitude, on grateful living. Life will never be perfect. Yeah, I realized this a couple weeks ago, a long time ago. And I'm sure you've witnessed this as well. Have you not experienced this? Life will not be perfect. And here's the truth. There's never a perfect day. We have in our mind this ideal of what a perfect day looks like, and we've come, like, I've come close, but yet there's always that one thing that kind of sets your day off. Maybe you wake up in the morning like, today is going to be my day, and you're making it through the day, but then you get a text, or you remember something, something comes to mind. There's never a perfect day. There's always something that threatens to steal your joy. There's something that comes up that threatens to steal the peace of the moment. So I came across this idea years ago, and it's always stood out to me. If you get, let's say you have 10 emails, and let's say 9 of them are good. Like, you are amazing. You're the best person ever. I love you so much. And if you don't get any of those emails, maybe talk to one of your neighbors here and be like, hey, can you send me one of those encouraging emails this week? You can get 9 of those, but then you get one email that's like, you're the worst person ever. I can't believe you said that. Or your work just wasn't up to what I expected it to be. Where is your mind going to focus? On the one email that gets under your skin. Because our minds are like Velcro for negativity, for the bad. And this has happened because of how we've evolved over the years. I mean, think about it. When humans were hunter-gatherers, you need to focus on the bad, because if there were animals coming or someone from another tribe, you had to know, okay, this is a bad thing. I need to run. I need to find shelter. I need to get with my people to protect myself. But yet, we haven't really changed too much over the years. Our minds are like Velcro for negativity and for the bad. Yet for the good, this person described it as being like Teflon. Try to get Teflon to stick together. I mean, that's why we have non-stick Teflon pans, because things just don't stick to it. The good, it's like Teflon. You put it together and it just simply falls off. Which tells me we need to be reminded constantly of the things that are good. Otherwise, our attention will be focused on the negative, the things that aren't going the way in which we want them to go. And I have this note here. For me, whenever I practice gratefulness, there's something within me that shifts. I can be having a really bad day, and that Velcro thing is true, and I'm focusing on things that just aren't going my way or things that I just wish were different. And I'm in a mood. Like, I am in, ooh, you don't want to be around me. And then I come across something that I'm extremely grateful for. And I allow my mind to sit there, to rest there for a few moments. And it's like something within me begins to shift. And that joy, the peace, the love that Paul talks about, it begins to bubble. It's like I pushed it down for a while because I was focused elsewhere. And now all of a sudden, as I practice gratefulness, it's like that dark cloud begins to be blown away. And something else, a different way of being, begins to emerge within. And then let's do one more note on grateful living. Let's look at a modern understanding of the benefits of intentional gratitude practices. And I find these absolutely fascinating. When you practice gratitude over a period of 3 months or 6 months, here's what some scientific studies have actually shown. There's improved sleep quality. There's less illness. Greater life satisfaction. Lower levels of anxiety and depression. Greater energy. And increase focus. Can anyone use any of those? Scientifically proven. Having an intentional practice of gratitude produces this within you. To me, you know what this sounds a lot like? Yeah, modern science, 2,000 years later. Yeah. Anyone need greater life satisfaction? Would anyone like to lessen their anxiety? Anyone need more energy? I keep thinking of that Arnold Schwarzenegger song, that like 80s exercise song where he's just like, more energy. I don't even know how I found it. I found it one day with the kids and then latched onto that song for about a month. There's a blog, there's a website, 1000awesomethings.com. Feel free to check it out. Anyone heard of this before? Have you heard of this website? So the blog was put together by Neil Pasricha, and he went through a divorce, and one of his friends committed suicide, and he said that he needed a little bit of therapy. So for him, the way in which he lived this out was for 1,000 weekdays in a row, he posted one thing that he was grateful for. 1,000 weekdays in a row, one thing that he was grateful for. And if you go to 1000awesomethings.com, you can scroll through and you can see the 1,000 things that he's grateful for. He's gone on, he's written a couple of books. He has, I found this fascinating, I saw this week. He has one of the top 10 most liked TED Talks, and he has one of the top 10 least liked TED Talks. And both of them are absolutely fascinating. 1000awesomethings.com, an intentional practice of gratitude, because he went through something in life that could have rocked him. Rightly so. I mean, this is tragic what he went through. And he said, as a way to change his mindset, to not focus on the hardships he was going through, he was going to focus his attention on the things that he was grateful for. 1,000 weekdays in a row. I mean, what is that? Like a couple of years, four years. So let's do this together. Big cheer, right? That's supposed to be, yeah, we're in this. All right, I got a couple of you. What we're going to do is we are going to intentionally practice 30 days of gratitude together. Now, I went online and I actually printed out a cheat sheet. So there's a couple of ways in which we can do this. Here we go. Let's see. So here are 30 days of gratitude. And if you want to take one and kind of pass it around, we can do it this way. Now, this may not work for you, and that's totally okay. I look through. There's so many of these, and you can Google 30 days of gratitude, and there'll be all these forms like this that kind of give you something to be grateful for each day. So if this one doesn't work, find another one. That's fine. Or you can do the standard just every night, every morning. What's one thing that you're grateful for? And then I want us to keep a journal. Get a notebook. I would say try not to do it in your phone. Let's get away from screens. There's something about writing something down. I think that has a lot of power to it. So grab a notebook, a couple pieces of paper. Maybe you want to post this on Instagram and you want to put a picture up for the next 30 days of something that you're grateful for. So you can use this format right here if this is helpful for you. Or again, Google 30 days. You'll find a few more templates like this on there that you can follow along. Or simply every day, morning, night, one thing that you're grateful for, write it down. You can get, again, as artistic as you want with this. All right? This is for you. And over these next 30 days, I want us to be aware of how we might begin to shift the foundation that we're living on a bit. Let's be aware of what happens within us when for 30 days we're intentional about having a gratitude practice. And then 30 days from now, so what's that, October, what are we, the 18th? I think there's 30, yeah, so is that October 18th then? We'll talk about it on that Sunday. And let's see what arises. Let's see what comes up. Let's see how things change. The 16th is a Sunday. Okay, so we'll get to 28 days at that point. We'll see. Let's see what happens. How's that sound? Can we do this together? Now, as we close here this morning, I want to celebrate communion or Eucharist. Now, the word in the Bible, Eucharistio, you means good. Charis, we've already known, means joy, grace, gift. When we talk about celebrating Eucharist, and I like to call it Eucharist because it really, really gets to the significance of what we're doing. We are reflecting on the good gift of Jesus. The good gift of Christ for us. A gift that we are invited to open, to remember, to accept. Living with this awareness of the love, the grace, God's joy and peace upon you every step, regardless of where you find yourself. The gift, the good gift of Jesus is always available for you. So as we close, I think this is another practice of gratitude, a way for us to be grateful for Jesus. The grace, the unmerited, boundless grace that is always with us. So what we'll do is we'll come forward, we'll take the bread, we'll dip it into the cup, and as you do so, may your heart be filled with gratitude for this Jesus, whose life was broken and poured open for your healing, for the healing of all the brokenness that we experience within us, around us, and all the brokenness within the world. Christ is at work bringing healing to your life and to this world. May we be reminded yet again of that truth, and may we focus our attention on the good gift of Jesus in this moment and as we walk into this next week. God, we come to you this morning. And God, there are things in life that threaten to steal our joy, our peace. God, I pray this week, over the next 30 days and even beyond, may we look for the goodness. May we seek out the goodness that we are experiencing. And I pray as we do so, God, may our hearts be filled with gratitude, and may we experience the love, the joy, and the peace that Paul spoke of. May something within us begin to shift. May we feel that deep, deep inner gladness, that inner satisfaction in greater ways that nothing can take away. God, as we come to the table this morning, again, may we be reminded. God, we do this ritual because we need reminders. We need to remember. So I pray as we partake together this morning, may we be reminded of the good gift of Jesus, the reason why we're here. God, the life, the grace, the salvation that is ours through Jesus. So I thank you that we can celebrate and remember this morning. We pray this in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.